I'm giving you 2 weeks for the lab report for today's experiment, because we'll be covering that material in class through next week. So, experiment 10 due Tuesday in 2 weeks. Experiment 11, the one we will do next week, will be due a week and a half from then. So, Thursday, November 6th. Okay?
So, I'll keep reminding you of those. Chapter 5 homework due next Tuesday. Chapter 6 due the following Monday, which is the day before the exam. So, all right, here was the problem we were working on. I have given you a mixture of three gases. I've given you the mass of each of those. 5 grams of hydrogen, 8 grams nitrogen, 10 grams oxygen. We'll do the total pressure. And I want to know, I have that written pH2, PN2, and PO2. What did we call those kind of pressures? Partial? Yeah, those are the partial pressures. I want to know, of that total pressure, what is the partial pressure of each of those three things? So I've given you the masses of those. We can't really use mass to get partial pressures. What are partial pressures most closely related to? Mole something. Mole, kind of like mole ratio. We call it out of total moles, we call it mole fraction. Right. So, of those three masses, what's the first thing you ought to do with those? Convert them into moles? Yeah, using their molar masses. That works. 5 grams of hydrogen. Why did I write these H2, N2, and O2? Why not? Yeah, H, N, and O. Okay. Elemental gases that are existing in their pure form, right? Like hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen. If they are diatomic elements, we write them H2, N2, O2. Okay? So fluorine, the halogens are diatomic too. So don't forget about those. So 5 grams of H2, its molar mass is twice hydrogen's molar mass. So 2.016 per 1 mole. Did you get 2.480 moles of hydrogen? Is that what you guys got? Okay. Let's do that same thing with the nitrogen. What is the molar mass of nitrogen? What's the molar mass of nitrogen gas? 14? Yeah, it's got to be 28.02. Because it's diatomic, we have to take the whole formula. Okay. I got 0.2855. Does that look good? Okay. 10 grams of O2. What is its molar mass? What molar mass should I write on the bottom here?
32.
16 or 32? 32. I got 0.3125. Okay. We agree on those numbers? Those are a count of, that's telling us the actual amount of those gases. Not the mass, not the volume, but the amount in moles. Okay. So, we have the most hydrogen molecules in this mixture. Okay. You can fool yourself a little bit if you just look at masses, but masses do not take the actual size of those molecules into account. Okay? So even though we have the smallest mass of hydrogen, we have the most moles of it because it's the smallest molecule. Okay? So there we've converted them into moles. What do you suppose we should do now? Add them all up. Okay? We have individual moles. Let's add those all up to get the total number of them, right? So let's make the sum. I'll make a little sum, Greek sigma there. 3.078 moles total. Okay, that works for me. Do a new color since we'll do something new now. All right, let's start with hydrogen. What should I do with the hydrogen?
Divided by the total.
Yeah, let's take its moles divided by the total mass. That gives us the mole fraction of hydrogen. I'm going to call that chi H2. So a big kind of swirly X, H2. That's the mole fraction of hydrogen. That'll be moles of hydrogen divided by total moles. So I'll say NH2 divided by N total. Okay. So 2.480 moles divided by 3.078 moles equals what? What is the mole fraction of hydrogen? 0.80. Give me four digits. 8057. Okay.
What unit goes behind the mole fraction? Nothing. Yeah. Moles cancel. Moles over moles, so mole fraction has no unit. It's just a number between 0 and 1. Okay? So, that is its mole fraction. What do I do to find the partial pressure, then, of hydrogen? Let's multiply that mole fraction by the total pressure.
The reason for that is that mole fraction, let's just write this one more time, is number of moles of H2 divided by total, but that same fraction is also equal to the partial pressure of H2 divided by total pressure. See that? That mole fraction is that same ratio between moles or between pressures. So, partial pressure of hydrogen is the mole ratio times the total pressure. 0.8057 times, what was the total pressure again?
Seven
atmospheres. One sig fig, I guess. So, what is the partial pressure of hydrogen to one sig fig? Six, what? Six atmospheres. Okay. So, you should be able to pretty easily do that same calculation with the other compounds there. So, if you're ever asked for a partial pressure, but are given masses or given something else that's weird like that, get them all into moles, okay? Get the total number of moles, and from that you'll get mole fractions. The mole fraction is just the fraction of the total pressure as well. It's the fraction of the moles, but also a fraction of the partial pressure themselves. Okay? So, I have a little bonus question that I'll ask here. You can work on it afterwards, but this will see if you're really getting ideal gas law. I just thought of this as we were talking about it. Let's say, what is the volume of this container? If temperature is 298 Kelvin. Okay, so that'll be a good one for you to figure out using the ideal gas law. Right, we have pretty much everything we need. I've given you a temperature. What pressure would you have to use to solve this one?
Total.
Yeah, you'd have to use the total pressure because all of the individual gases add up to make that total. What number of moles would you have to use?
Mm-hmm.
The total number of moles as well. Okay. So I'll leave that to you folks to figure out. I'll put the...
Wait a minute, did you say you gave a temperature?
Yep, I gave a temperature. Just in my little bonus question, what if temperature is 298 Kelvin? Okay. So if it's room temperature.
Okay. So I'll put an answer to that in my
notes that you can go and print off. Okay?
So... if we are only interested in one gas out of a mixture, we can use its partial pressure in the ideal gas law. Okay? So if we plug in a partial pressure into PV equals nRT, we will get out the number of moles of that one gas. So my little modification here of PV equals nRT, I just put little subscript A's after P and N. So where one gas is just A. So for instance, if we were interested in the pressure of hydrogen, we would say pH2V equals NH2RT. The partial pressure of hydrogen times the volume equals number of hydrogen moles times RT. Okay? So just whichever gas you're interested in, you can use its moles and its partial pressure as part of the calculation. Okay? So one place where we can use this is the collection of a gas over water. Okay? Does this setup look familiar to you at all?
Probably not. Let me fix the notes here. See that picture. There we go. Okay. So, how does this look familiar?
The lab you did. The one that I just graded. I'm going to hand it back to you. Right? This has, for instance, a reaction of zinc and hydrochloric acid. You guys used, what, magnesium and hydrochloric acid? Okay. You captured it what did you capture the gas in? Yeah, you had an inverted graduated cylinder, so you could just read off the volume. This is just collecting it in some container, but it could have just as easily had been graduated. Okay. For instance, okay. The thing that we failed to take into account in that lab is that we assumed that the gas we were collecting was pure hydrogen gas. Okay. We bubbled the gas through water, though, so that'll pick up a little water along the way, and the gas that's collected in that bottle will be saturated with the maximum amount of water vapor that gas is able to hold. Okay? So any gas that's around us can hold a certain amount of certain substances. We're flickering. Oh, maybe I didn't do that. Maybe I did. There, I think it was this one. Okay. So, when the humidity or the dew point is reported in the weather report, that's a measurement of how much water vapor there is currently hanging in the air. So, if there is 100% relative humidity, that means the air is saturated with water vapor, just like the hydrogen gas is saturated with water vapor inside of there. Okay? The thing is, right, I say here, the gas is a collection of those things. So the thing is, it's not a fixed amount of water that gas can hold. It depends on the temperature. Okay? So I have in this little table here, there's a big table in the book of vapor pressures of water. Okay? Vapor pressure is just defined as the maximum partial pressure of water when a gas is saturated with water vapor. Okay? So it is the maximum pressure that water vapor can exert in that trap sample there. Okay? So look what happens. As the temperature goes up, the partial pressure or the vapor pressure of water goes up. So the hotter, the warmer the gas is, the more water vapor it can hold. Okay? So that is why if it is a 55 degree day with a relative humidity of 100%, that is not nearly as uncomfortable as a 95 degree day with a relative humidity of 100%. Okay? If it's really hot out, that hot air is able to hold much more water vapor in it than cold air does. Okay? So relative humidity depends on temperature. Dew point is actually a fixed value. Dew point is the temperature at which the air of today would become saturated. Okay? So if it's 60 degrees with a 50 degree dew point, that meant that if we had all the water vapor in the air that day but cooled the temperature to 50 degrees or whatever, then it would be 100% relative humidity. And if we cooled it even beyond that, it would get foggy, or it might start to rain or something like that. Okay? So dew point is becoming a more popular measure of the amount of water or the comfort level of the water vapor in the air. So because it's related to an actual amount of water that's in the air. So if the dew points are in the 60s or the 70s, that's a tropical kind of humidity. That's a very uncomfortable sort of temperature. But dew points in the 50s, 40s, 30s are a much more manageable level of water vapor. So what we have to do, we have to take the temperature of, I would take the temperature of the water that we were bubbling that gas through, because that's going to determine the amount of water vapor in the gas above there. So I just have 20, 23, 25 listed. We have to, though, remember that according to Dalton's law, the total pressure is the sum of all of the partial pressures of the gases contained in it. So the total pressure of the gas that's inside of this little collection bottle will be a sum of the pressure of water and the pressure of hydrogen. Where are we going to figure out the pressure of water? Well, we just look it up based on the temperature. If we assume it's saturated with water, which it will be if we bubble gas through water, we're just going to look up what partial pressure water will have. Okay? How do you suppose we're going to know what the total pressure is? We don't need to hook up a pressure sensor to that. I'll give you a hint.
No,
it's just water. Okay. What is the pressure inside of there going to be equal to?
18.
Yeah, it's going to be equal to the atmospheric pressure. Okay. This gas right here is only able to push back the water that the atmosphere pushed into it. Okay. So, especially if you have equal liquid levels on the inside and the outside. Okay. If we have water pushed up all the way up in there, it's not going to be quite right. We have to get it exactly right. We'd have to have the water level inside and outside be equal, but it's actually very close otherwise. So we're going to assume the total pressure inside of that container is just equal to the atmospheric pressure. Okay, so that means we know the total pressure. Right? Let's just call that... atmospheric pressure, right? You go over and look at the barometer on the wall and see what the atmospheric pressure is that day. Okay. PH2O, that's the vapor pressure at that temperature. You're then able to subtract and figure out what the actual partial pressure of hydrogen is inside of that container. So let's do a little problem here. This is what a problem like that may look like, for instance. And let's sort of break this down. Let's say if you collect 19.0 milliliters of a gas over water, how would I know that I collected 19.0 milliliters? Yeah, but that's a volume, right? If you did this in a graduated cylinder, you'd just read off the volume of gas that was produced in that container. Okay? That's pretty simple, right? If you collect 19 milliliters of the gas over water from a reaction that produces hydrogen, how many moles of hydrogen gas were collected? Okay. I have to give you the atmospheric pressure that day. Let's just assume it was 760. Let's assume it was one atmosphere. Okay. And let's assume that the temperature was 23 degrees Celsius. Okay. So what do you suppose we ought to do first? Any ideas? Yep. Let's figure out partial pressures. Okay. What is the total pressure? Yep. Total pressure 760. Okay. How am I going to find the partial pressure of water? Yeah. We're going to look it up. The table that I gave you on the last page. You can see that right here. What was the temperature of this reaction I told you?
23.
So, take a look right here. PH2O, 21.10 millimeters of mercury at that temperature. Okay. What will I have to do to those to get the partial pressure of hydrogen? Yeah. There. What'd you get? Okay. That is the partial pressure of hydrogen in that container that was collected. The hydrogen and the water vapor will add their pressures together to equal the total pressure in there. Okay? So, I asked how many moles of hydrogen gas were collected. What are we going to have to do? You're given a pressure here. How are we going to get into moles? What should we use? Ooh, yeah, let's use PV equals NRT. Purple. And let's modify it the way that I did on the last page. The partial pressure of hydrogen, pH2V, equals NH2RT. Okay? If we use, instead of a total pressure, if we use a partial pressure, we'll get out moles of that one compound we're interested in, instead of total moles. Okay? What we would actually have done if we had just considered the total pressure, we would have gotten total moles, okay? Moles of hydrogen and the moles of water vapor in there. Okay? And when we used in the lab, when we used our 22.4, when we assumed standard temperature and pressure, we were including those water vapor molecules in there as well. We're also assuming it was at 0 degrees, which it wasn't. Okay? So, which one am I solving for? Out of PV equals NRT, I'm solving for N, number of moles of H2 equals partial pressure times the volume over RT. We have the partial pressure. Do we have the volume?
Yes.
Yes. Right? R is always the same. Right? 0.08206 liters atmosphere. Yep. Because R has liters in it, so your volume needs to be in liters, 0.0190. Right? So it's 23 degrees Celsius.
Well, the pressure too needs to be converted.
All right. Flickering again. You're right. The pressure needs to be converted into what? Yep. Atmosphere. Anybody get that pressure in atmospheres?
For Kelvin's, are we safe
because it's not
used
to time over it? Yeah, we probably better put it in. It's actually not going to make any difference since we are going to be rounding to, what, 2 sig figs? Now, if our Kelvin, yeah, 23 degrees, we have at least 3 sig figs there. Let's assume our 760 was 3 sig figs, so.
Well, is the degrees Celsius 2 sig figs there?
There are 2 sig figs, but we're adding to it, mm-hmm. Right? So, this 6. So 23 plus 273 whatever is going to be 296 if it's rounded. Because
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's in the ones place. Right.
Oh, yeah,
if you're adding,
yeah.
You have to go by the decimal place. Right. Okay. So, color here. Okay, V, 0.0190 liters over, having trouble drawing straight lines today. R, T,
Anybody get an answer?
-0.76
times 10 to the negative 3. Let's do correct scientific notation where you have one number before the decimal point. 7.60? Yep. So it's 10 to the negative 4, what? Moles of H2. Right. Okay. So, let's actually compare that with the really quick, simple way that we did that's a similar calculation to this in lab. All right. Remember what we used? We used standard temperature and pressure. What are we able to say at standard temperature and pressure? There's a 22.4 something. 22.4 moles per liter? Liter per mole. At standard temperature and pressure, molar volume is 22.4 liters per mole. Okay? So, let's forget all of these fancy calculations we did here. Let's not correct for water vapor. Let's do just standard temperature, not room temperature. Let's do one atmosphere total. Okay? It's for a simpler calculation, but it's going to be a little different. Okay? What should I do? All we need to do is plug that in, right? I would start with liters, right? 0.0190 at standard temperature and pressure, and ignoring water vapor. Let's put it that way. Okay. Our total volume of gas, hydrogen and water vapor, was 0.0190 liters. Okay. Then what should I do? 0.0190 liters. 22.4 liters on the bottom. One mole on the top. What do you get in that case? 8.48. Okay. It's a fairly reasonable difference, you know, 10% or something like that. Okay. Yeah. So what are the two differences between what we're...
The temperature and the amount of in the volume.
Yeah. We're here we would be assuming standard temperature and pressure. Pressure is total pressure, which was okay, but we're not correcting for water vapor. Okay. Temperature is off of it. This would be calculating what we would get in an ice bath, for instance, but if you look at this, the value that we got right here is a good amount larger, 10% larger, and that really just comes from the water vapor. Right? We're calculating 0.8 millimoles instead of 0.7 millimoles or whatever. Right? So this 0.848 millimoles or whatever is actually millimoles of hydrogen and water vapor in that. Okay? So the temperature difference, actually, from 0 degrees Celsius to 23 degrees Celsius, that sounds like a big temperature difference, but in Kelvin, that's really not a big difference. That's gone from 273 to 296 or whatever. Okay? That's not a huge difference. But the difference in those partial pressures with the water, right, is pretty significant. Okay? So if you're ever given a problem that says that you're collecting... gas over water, okay, you could probably get half of the credit, half or maybe a little less than half of the credit, if you just say, screw it, I'm going to do this at standard temperature and pressure and get a rough answer. Okay? So in an emergency situation on an exam, you could assume standard temperature and pressure and get some kind of answer. Right? That's not the worst thing in the world. That's what we did in lab, right?
Okay? But to get full credit on a question like this, where I say a gas was collected over water, you have to take the temperature into account, which falls into both the vapor pressure of water and into the ideal gas law, okay? Because temperature affects the pressure of a gas. And that's one of the simple gas laws we talked about. So you have to take the vapor pressure into account, and you have to do the ideal gas law in order to get full credit for a gas being collected over water.
So will they give us the vapor pressure plot?
Yep, I'll give you a little table, or I'll just give you the value. Okay. So does that make sense? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. What's next? Stoichiometry and gas laws. Let's just spend a little time combining Chapter 4 and Chapter 5 together. Okay? I know you guys love it when I start mixing my chapters together. Okay? So, let's think about what we've been doing right now. Let's say with a known P, V, and T, if I give you pressure, volume, and temperature, what can you calculate?
N.
You can calculate N using P, V equals nRT. Correct? That's one of the types of calculations that we've been able to do. Okay? You can calculate moles, and if you're asked for a mass, you use molar mass to get that into grams. Okay? We should be able to do that. In Chapter 4, from a balanced chemical equation, what kind of thing can we construct that helps us with calculations? Yeah, we can construct a mole ratio from the coefficients. Okay. That means, theoretically, or technically, I guess, we could start with gas data, pressure, volume, temperature. We could have that undergo a chemical reaction, and we could be asking about some sort of gas data for a different reactant or product. So let's just say here, P, V, T, from that we can calculate N. From there, we can use a mole ratio. Let's call this first N, NA. Okay? Moles of one compound. Using a mole ratio from a balanced equation, I could get moles of another compound, moles of B. So, for instance, if we're asked how many liters of this gas will react with, will react with a certain number of liters of this other gas, okay? Or how many liters can be produced from this reaction, or what is the pressure if we have this reaction or something like that. Okay? So mole ratio can give us moles of the other compound. We can use ideal gas law to get P, V, T, whichever of those that we're missing from the data that we're given. Okay? So this mole ratio business right in here is nothing special. This is what we've spent Chapter 4 dealing with for the most part. Okay? The only difference here is that for one kind of calculation in Chapter 4, we went grams to moles to moles to grams. Okay? Here, we could go from any kind of gas data into moles to moles and then into some other type of gas data. Okay? So here's my question that we're gonna work on. I have given you a balanced chemical equation. Okay? I've given you carbon dioxide reacting with two lithium hydroxides to make lithium carbonate and water. This is a CO2 scrubber. It's actually the old-fashioned kind of CO2 scrubber. This is actually what was on Apollo 13. If you saw the movie where they're working at fitting the round peg in the square hole, that kind of stuff, that container contained lithium hydroxide, which and through which the breathing air of the cabin was pumped so that carbon dioxide reacts with it to make a solid compound right here, and water, and the other gases are allowed to go through. So just a way of capturing carbon. Okay? It turns out this and other methods like it are being investigated as a way of capturing and sequestering carbon dioxide emissions from coal power plants, for instance. Okay? Where they can take their emissions, they can run it through something that makes a solid out of the carbon dioxide, and then they can go bury that solid. So
it gets it out of the atmosphere, I guess. But and you need a good amount. So here's our question. How many liters of carbon dioxide at one atmosphere and 293 Kelvin? So I gave you pressure and temperature. Okay? I want to know how many liters of CO2 can be removed by 10 grams of lithium hydroxide. Okay? So let's figure out just sort of a roadmap before I set you loose on this one. What probably ought you start with? I'm asking for liters. Your answer will be liters of carbon dioxide. You'll get a volume at the very end. Okay? So what should you start with? Let's start with that mass of lithium hydroxide. All right, grams. And what should I make that into? Moles. Yeah. Moles of lithium hydroxide. And from there, what? Moles of CO2 using a mole ratio. I gave you a balanced chemical equation, after all. Okay. From moles of CO2, we can then do what? What will we use then? Yeah, let's use PV equals NRT to figure out liters of CO2. Okay. So I'll leave you with this one for a minute or so.
Let's do one. I was a little careless in writing that. I just said one atmosphere, so the answer should be just one. We're only talking about 10 grams of lithium hydroxide. So that's the 3 or 4 spoon goes for it. The volume of CO2 able to be sequestered from this probably won't be huge. It's on Apollo 13, they had a pretty decent sized container that they had to change every 6 hours or something like that.
What is the molar mass of lithium hydroxide? And what was the mole ratio that you used? One over two? 1 mole of CO2 for every 2 moles of lithium hydroxide. That works. Get an answer for moles of CO2.
At most.
0 point something.
Point
10? Point 10? No, not quite. Yeah, that's what I got. 208768. Okay, that's partway there. We can remove 0.2 moles of carbon dioxide. Is that what you guys got? Okay. Then let's do PV equals NRT. I'm solving for volume, right? So V equals NRT over P. We have N CO2 as the result of our calculation there. R, so it always is, 08206. T was given. P was given. So moles cancels, atmospheres cancels, kelvins cancel. What volume did you get? How many? 5.
So that means we're probably going to need more lithium hydroxide than that on Apollo 13. Right? Remember, they ran out of lithium hydroxide. Their scrubbers were saturated because they had more people in there than they were originally planning on. So
at the time, they didn't go down to the moon. They had to just sit in the vehicle they were in the circle all the way around. So I have a nice extension to this problem that'll challenge you a little bit as a way to do a similar kind of calculation but kind of reverse on your own. So I'll just read this to you on your own. This is probably the exact calculation that people at NASA did in order to figure out how many lithium hydroxide cartridges to put in the space shuttle. And a very similar calculation to this has to be done, for instance, when using a rebreather, when doing scuba diving. The manufacturers have to figure out how much carbon dioxide can be consumed over time in a certain package. So I want to know how many kilograms of lithium hydroxide are necessary to remove the CO2 produced by 2 men for 2 days, assuming 12 breaths per minute, 0.50 liters of air per breath, and if 5% of the exhaled air's volume is CO2. So you'll have to figure out volume of total air breathed, then do a 5% of that to figure out the volume of carbon dioxide that comes out. And then
it's a pretty program just to plug those numbers in.
Yeah, well, back in the 60s, they were probably using their slide rules. And yeah,
absolutely. But I can pretty well guarantee that the answer we would get here would be a fairly reasonable answer. The ideal gas law will work very well for this. This does, I guess, assume 100% efficiency of those cartridges, which probably is not quite as realistic, so they would maybe throw one extra cartridge on to be safe, but that's the kind of problem they would do. So I think that's our time. Tomorrow we'll just finish up. I think I have just 2 more slides from this chapter, so and then we'll start on chapter 6. So have at least the first 3 or 4 sections from chapter 6 read for Thursday, so we can be ready to talk about that, and then we can go to lab. I brought some stuff to show you. I'll show it to you at the start of lab. Right now?
Yes, yeah.
I think so. Maybe? I don't know. Maybe not. Not sure. Oh, yeah, sure.